Israel, oh, mein Schma Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Wipe the Stain Away, was written by Joseph Mendel and is presented in observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
The story is for our time and for this season of the year. Then hear the words that befit the season and the time.
This hath befallen us. All this I tell as I beheld it passing through the years of bygone ages. Make an end of blood poured out and wasted. Wash the stain away.
The story is of seeking and of finding. And if the end was knowable from the first, still who can name with certainty the day and place of the beginning? For me, it was a day in the early summer of last year in an office of the Russian consulate.
What can I do for you, Mr. Miller,
Ben Miller. Is this the office that issues visas?
You want to visit the Soviet Union as a tourist?
Oh, not exactly. I work for a magazine.
Ah, a reporter.
No, it's a literary magazine. We're interested in publishing the work of a Russian writer.
Yes. Our cultural attaché can give you the names of the leading Soviet writers.
I know his name. We've published some of his stories.
Well, in that case, I do not see why... You understand that I do not wish to discourage legitimate business trips.
Of course not.
It is my duty to ask. Surely this kind of business can be done as easily by letter or by cable.
You're quite right. All our dealings have been by correspondence.
Well, then...
I wrote 6 months ago, and several times since. I have had no answer.
So?
Of course, letters do go astray, even in America.
Nonsense. The Soviet postal system is the finest in the world. If a letter is not delivered,
I didn't say that. I said that I had no answer.
It doesn't matter. In either case, there must be a reason.
Yes. I think so, too.
It is no reflection at all on... What did you say?
I was agreeing with you. That's why I want a visa, to see if I can find the reason for myself.
Mr. Miller, you are not so innocent as you appear.
How innocent is it necessary to be in order to travel in the Soviet Union?
What's his name, this man you want, the writer?
Aaron Leipchik.
Aaron Leipchik. I've seen the name recently on some list, I think. I'll find it. Here it is. Just as I thought. Aaron Leipchik. Well, Mr. Miller, that settles the matter.
You won't give me a visa.
Out of the question. But I will give you some advice. The next time you write to Aaron Leipchik, be sure to address the letter to the place where he can be found.
The slender cord of communication between us, between Aaron Leipchik and me, was snapped in two. It is not necessary to understand why I was impelled to look for the broken ends. Not the seeker, but the search is important. And the search led to a small apartment in Midtown, New York.
Yes, I knew Aaron Leipchik. We were friends.
How can I get in touch with him?
Why ask me? I saw him the last time, maybe 10, 11 years ago, just after the war.
But you're friends. Surely you've heard from him.
So he has become an important writer, Aaron.
I like his work, but his importance as a writer has nothing to do with it.
No? And what is your interest?
I told you. His name is on a list at the Soviet consulate.
Don't get excited, my friend. In the Soviet Union, everybody's name is on a list, some list.
All right. Thanks for listening to me.
It was nothing.
Look, I am going to be in Europe for the next month. Maybe in the meantime, you'll hear from Leipzig. Maybe you'll ask around. When I get back, I'll come to see you again, if you don't mind.
Mr. Miller, I have decided to tell you something. I know somebody who has seen Aaron more recently than I.
Who is he? What's his name?
It is not a he. Dr. Bella Mirovich, doctor of philosophy. She used to write history books. You'll be in London?
Where does she live in London? What's her address?
Not so fast. Her address I won't give you.
But
there is a man, a book dealer in the East End. Go to him when you get to London. I'll write that he should expect you.
All right. That's how you want it. But I don't understand why it all has to be so roundabout.
Of course you don't. Maybe you'll understand a little better when you have talked with Bella Mirovich.
Excuse me, what apartment, I mean, what flat is Dr. Mirovich, Dr. Bella Mirovich?
Never heard of her.
But I was told to come here.
Who told you?
Never mind that.
Whoever he is, he's taking you for a blooming fool. No one here by that name.
Now, look here, my name is Miller, and Dr. Mirovich knows I'm coming to see her.
Well, now, why
it's
don't you...
It's all right, Mr. Watkins. I am expecting Mr. Miller.
Dr. Mirovich.
Well, if you say so, I'll tell you what, he talks too loud.
Come in, Mr. Miller. You are angry.
Oh. Well, maybe.
Still, it is unfortunately necessary, all this hiding and lying. The MVD, the secret police, would like to have me back. Not that I am an important person, but it does not look good if someone escapes from the MVD. You do not believe me.
I have no reason to doubt what you say.
You're very polite. It's not easy to convince someone who has never been experienced secret police. But you came to talk about Aaron Leipzig.
You saw him recently?
Often, until a year ago, when I left the Soviet Union. In fact, it's mainly because of him that I am here. He is a persistent man, Aaron Leipzig. Did you know that? For months and months, he talked. He kept after me, too.
There is not much time. At the first opportunity, you must leave.
And you, Aaron? What about you?
Who's talking about me?
I am.
All right. You're a historian. You need books, libraries, statistics, facts. It's different with me. I'm a writer. Everything I need, I have up here in my head.
Then tell me, my writer, what will you do with what comes out of your head? Every Jewish newspaper, every publication, even the official communist Jewish press is shut down. Every Jewish publishing house.
There was only one left.
And it's also closed. Who will read what you write?
You are changing the subject.
It's the same subject. What will you do?
You have to get out, if it's possible.
And you don't?
I have a family, Bushka. You're alone. But who says that I have to be a writer? I'll be a steel worker. Don't you think that's funny?
Aaron, we're not fooling each other. It's not a question of writing or not, or even of how to earn a living, is it? You're not talking about that.
Suppose you're right. What should I talk about? About Sonia? We sent her... She's 12, you know. Old enough to help her mother a little more. We sent her to stand in line for bread. A gang of Komsomols... communist youth came up.
But did they hurt her?
They spit.
Oh.
Does that hurt? They called her Jid and pushed her to the end of the line. They kept pushing her back to the end of the line. She cried all night.
Poor child.
Do not give her more than her share of pity. Save some for us. When we read what Ilya Ehrenburg writes in Pravda about homeless, degenerate cosmopolitans, about reactionary aliens hostile to the Soviet spirit. He's so careful not to violate the theoretical laws against anti-Semitism. But the Komsomols know what he means. My Sonia also knows.
What do they want, Arion? What do they want?
I don't have to tell you. You know what they want. They want us not to be. And they are arranging the affair. Peretz Markish was my friend. We used to read to each other what we wrote. He's gone, disappeared. Pfeffer is gone. Bergelson, Mistar, Halkin, all gone. Zuskin, the theater director.
It's enough.
He's gone.
I also know that.
Then I will tell you something that you do not know. Every night when I go to sleep, there is a little bag beside my bed. Comb and brush. A clean shirt. I don't know if they will let me take it.
Aaron, how can you go on living like this?
That's a foolish question for a historian to ask. Belushka, go. Get away from here. What good does it do for you to remain? From outside, maybe you can do something for those of us who must.
I do not know what else I can tell you, Mr. Miller.
Dr. Meyerovich, I've read much of what Aaron Leipzig wrote. There's nothing anti-Soviet in it. There's nothing even political.
You're wrong. He wrote about what it meant to be a Jew. Even worse, what it meant to be a man. One single person, Aaron Leipzig.
Where is he now? I mean, is he still alive?
I cannot tell you.
Surely you must realize that I can be trusted.
Oh, it's not that, Mr. Miller. I do not know. I have had no word since I last saw him a year ago.
All right. I won't trouble you further. I'm very grateful, Dr. Meyerovich.
Why?
Why? Because you were good enough to see me and talk to me.
Aaron was my friend. I can say this. Some people like his work, some do not. And most have never heard of him. He was not a great writer. What is Aaron Leipzig to you?
I don't know how to answer. Maybe in some way I feel a responsibility in what is happening to him.
Yes, I think I understand. Mr. Miller, did you plan to visit Berlin?
You know something more?
I cannot vouch for it. It's hardly more than a rumor. I have heard that in West Berlin there is a man, David Pintner, an old friend who had just come out. Maybe he can tell you about Aaron Leipzig.
You are surprised, Mr. Miller, that I meet you in a cafe.
I suppose I am, Mr. Pintner.
I will explain. You see, there are a number of theories of safety. I believe in bright lights and crowds. Maybe it is because I'm afraid of dark, quiet streets. It doesn't matter.
Mr. Pintner.
I see that you are also shocked at my appearance. What did you expect? Life in a Soviet concentration camp does not make a person beautiful.
Mr. Pintner, I didn't say any of these things.
You must make allowances for me. I have not yet become accustomed to talking once more like a civilized person. Now, what do you want me to tell you?
You saw Aaron Leipzig.
We were in the same camp near the town of Bratsk. Pfeffer and Bergelson were also there, but not in the same barracks. Aaron was pleased when he found out. He was pleased until he saw Pfeffer for the first time in the barracks yard area, where they occasionally let us out for exercise.
What have they done to him, David? What have they done to Itzik Pfeffer?
Done? Nothing unusual, Aaron. He is questioned regularly, of course.
He's so thin. His skin and bones. His face is a mass of bruises. His hands tremble.
Bruises normally come with questioning. After all, a man suspected of conspiring with Zionists and other fascists, a man charged with falsely accusing the Communist Party of anti-Semitism, cannot expect gentle treatment.
Oh, stop it, David. Talking like that injures only you.
How should I talk? You saw Itzik Pfeffer, poet, former colonel in the Red Army. You saw him. Should I say nothing? Is it better to cry useless tears?
I don't know what's better. You imagine in your mind the worst that can be. Then it happens, and you see that reality is even blacker than imagination. And then you know.
You don't know, Aaron.
I saw him, didn't I? I saw him with my own eyes.
You don't know until you are called for questioning yourself. guards. Oh. The guards don't like noise at night.
Oh.
You must be quiet, Aaron. Your shirt is soaked with blood. Here, let me take it off.
I had a clean shirt ready, David. But they didn't let me take the bag.
Here, put this on. It used to be the vest of my good suit.
No.
Don't argue. Put it on. I'll wash your shirt tomorrow. Now, lie down. Lie down. Be still.
There's something I want to tell you. Something that came to my mind.
Not now. There will be time tomorrow.
Yes.
Next month. Next year.
No. I have to tell you now.
All right, then. Talk if you must. But quietly. Well? Well?
How long was I there?
3 days. It was bad, the questioning?
For one whole day, they made me sit on a stool with two legs. When I lost my balance and fell to the floor, they kicked me till I got up again. Just think what a time we live in. What invention. A stool with two legs.
If you want to say something, say it.
No, there's no telling what they'll think of next.
Aaron, go to sleep.
No, listen to me. I want to tell you something, David. The idea came to me when I was there. I thought about it for 3 days, every minute, as hard as I could, because then I didn't feel so much. David, we are dangerous people, you and I.
Yes, you look dangerous.
Well, but we are.
Because we're Jews?
No, because we're different. And totalitarians cannot tolerate difference, don't you see?
What I see is all of Russia with plenty of space for concentration camps. Enough for the 2 million Soviet Jews.
We're not the only ones. There are others with eyes that can see and minds that can ask questions.
There's room for them, too. Aaron, right now your mind is... That is, this is no time for political philosophy.
No, David, you don't understand. And they don't either, those in the Kremlin. They spit on difference. They beat it down with clubs. But they do not see that all people are different. Everybody is a single, different individual.
You talk like a schoolboy who has just read a book. Oh, I am sorry, Aaron. I shouldn't talk like this. Now, after 3 such days you have had.
It's all right. The vest, David, it's sticking to my back where it's still bleeding. Thank you.
Do you really believe what you have been saying?
I believe it. I have to believe it. Only what is the rest of the world, the free world, thinking? Do they know about us? Do they know about secret police and two-legged stools?
What difference does it make? Whatever has to be done here, we must do.
What does it mean to them, all this that's happening here? What?
Prisoner Leipzig, step forward. Prisoner Aaron Leipzig.
Take the vest, David.
Keep it, Aaron.
Take it, I say.
Prisoner Leipzig.
Coming. I'm coming.
March, prisoner.
David, listen. Suffering must have meaning, and meaning must be shared. Do you hear, David?
No! Shut up. Now move.
What else would you like me to tell you, Mr. Miller? Perhaps you would like to hear how I escaped from the Soviets. It is an exciting story, with a number of variations depending on the audience. I am a cynical person, as you have no doubt noticed. It may amuse you to learn that when they brought Leipzig back the second time, I cried.
Mr. Pinton, is he still alive?
I'm curious about something, Mr. Miller. Why are you more concerned about Aaron Leipzig than about all the others?
Because it's perfectly natural.
To me, it is not natural at all. I used to be a bookkeeper. I have an aptitude for figures. I will give you some statistics. From 1948 on, 238 Yiddish writers, 87 Jewish painters, 99 actors, and 19 musicians were executed or tortured to death or died what is called a natural death in Soviet prisons and concentration camps. The total is 443. You have no comment, Mr. Miller?
What do you want me to say?
I was wondering, if your concern was spread among the 443, would it diminish in proportion? And if you counted also the thousands, the millions who are not writers or artists, who are not Jewish, what then?
Is Aaron Leibchik still living?
How should I know? I am not sure I even know what you mean by living. Mr. Miller, I must ask you again to forgive me. I have come out into your world, a place of refuge. I am grateful.
No one is asking for gratitude.
You have made a long journey for the sake of Aaron Leipzig, who was my friend. You deserve better of me than I gave.
I didn't ask for anything.
Still, I am grateful to you. But I cannot forget the world from which I came. Can you? You are afraid to answer?
You know the answer, as well as I.
Maybe I do. And maybe there are those in your world who also have cause to ask forgiveness.
The story is for this season of the year, for Yom Kippur, when each one stands before God and seeks within him that which requires atonement. Let the whole world also rise. Let the world seek atonement for those evils most easily done, for indifference, for silence, for acquiescence. Then may the words be said, the ancient ritual that recalls the martyrs of long ago, so that we may remember those more recent.
This hath befallen us. All this I tell as I beheld it passing through the years of bygone ages. Make an end of blood poured out and wasted. Wash the stain away, O God, who sittest on a gracious throne.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Aaron Blumenthal, spiritual leader of Temple Emmanuel, Mount Vernon, New York, and president of the Rabbinical Assembly of America, Rabbi Blumenthal.
Within a few days, Jews everywhere will find themselves in the synagogues of the world on Yom Kippur, seeking atonement for their sins. For most of us, the task will appear to be simple. After all, we have not committed any grievous sins. We think of ourselves as living and moving within a small circle of influence and responsibility. Husbands, wives, parents, children, friends, and business associates, we have behaved fairly well towards them during the past year. No, our sins are too petty to cause any real concern. Certainly, they have no effect upon the well-being of society. The serious sins of the world are committed by others. Read the tabloids. The Sephardic prayer book has preserved for us the confession of sin by the saintly Rabbi Isaac ben Israel. Here are some phrases from his confession. Sovereign of the universe, when I reflect on my sin, my transgression, and my guilt, fear and dread seize me. I am silent and overwhelmed with the enormity of mine iniquity. If I pretend to righteousness, my own mouth will condemn me, and if mine iniquity be investigated, What shall I say, or how shall I justify myself? Now, this was a truly pious man whose life was more saintly than mine. Yet see how much more troubled he was about his sins. In today's script, the author Joseph Mindell helps us to understand where man must search if he is to discover his real sins. First, he must break the circumference of the smug little circle of his existence. There are no limits to our responsibilities, for every man is our brother. Jews in the Soviet Union, Hungarian patriots in their homeland, the poor, the oppressed, the starving, and the homeless of the world cry to the conscience of humanity, and we, their brothers, are the heart and hands of that conscience. How often has our heart been untouched and our hand unmoved? They cry to the world, and we must understand that each of us is the world. Oh, yes, we have sinned deeply during this past year. The maturity of our religious thinking will be demonstrated this Yom Kippur by the depth of our search for sins which require atonement, by the circumference which we impose upon our concern for our fellow men. God grant us the insight to comprehend our sinfulness.
Thank you, Rabbi Blumenthal. Eternal Light drama today, Wipe the Stain Away, was written by Joseph Mindell and was presented in observance of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Featured in the cast were Norman Rose, Barry Kroger, Charmy Allen, Guy Repp, Raymond Edward Johnson, Ed Peck, and Sam Raskin. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Walt Urquhart. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.